You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, we are in the season of Lent now. So the 40-day season of Lent, it began on Ash Wednesday. It goes all the way through Holy Saturday. However, though, if you count up those days, we find out that is 46 days. So how do we get 40 and yet 46? Well, during that period of time, there are six Sundays. So when we come to the Sundays, just like today, we say this is a Sunday in Lent, but it's not a Sunday of Lent. So it's not part of the 40 days. So we take the 46 days, we subtract off the six Sundays, and we come to a 40-day period of time. The 40 days are patterned after the 40 days of Jesus being tempted by the devil in the wilderness, and they also recall the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness by the descendants of Abraham. Today, as we come to an intense time of temptation for Jesus, we're going to see how he does prevail, how he does not fall, and how he is our champion, because he did what he did, not only for himself, but he did it for all people. He did it in place of all people. We're also going to see how he used the word of God in order to defend himself, so we can learn then how the word of God can be valuable in our lives in order to defend ourselves against the attacks of the devil. Going right to our text here, we're in Luke chapter 4, picking up in verse 1, the Bible says, "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they were ended, he was hungry." So here is Jesus then. He is the very Son of God. He is the only begotten Son of God. And yet, he has human flesh. So he became thirsty, he became hungry, he felt pain, and so on. Right before this time of being led by the Spirit in the wilderness, that is where the Bible tells us that he was baptized and he was also anointed with the Holy Spirit. So right after that, we lead into the temptation then. And when we think about it here, the way I used to read this years ago is I thought the Holy Spirit simply led him into the wilderness and then kind of led him off on his own then. Kind of like you might pick up someone in the car, drive them out to a remote place and say, "Get out," and then you're on your own. Well, that's not the case at all here. If you look carefully, the Bible is telling us that the Holy Spirit not only led him into the wilderness, but led him day by day while he was in that wilderness place. Also, too, the Bible tells us that he was being tempted by the devil, not only the three times we're going to look at today, but throughout the 40 days, he was being tempted by the devil. Now, we don't know what those temptations were. We don't know the details about it. But one thing we do know, we know the most important thing. The Bible tells us that Jesus, throughout his life, he was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he was without sin. That becomes the good news. Think about God sending his Son. So it does tell us in the Bible that God would send his Son, he would come in the fullness of time, and he would basically destroy the work of the devil. Thinking about that topic, Lenski wrote that Jesus was God's Messiah who had come to crush and rob Satan, destroy all his works, and erect the kingdom of God among men. And then Lenski went on to tell us what the devil decided to do then. The devil at once resolved to break this divine champion. So the devil understood that Jesus was coming in order to defeat him. And the devil is like, "Okay, I'm not going to run away from him. I'm going to hit him head on here, and I'm going to get him to fall into sin, and I'm going to ruin his plan to save the entire world." That's what we have going on here. At this time, we go and focus on now the three specific temptations that we have noted here in Luke chapter 4. The first one is trying to get Jesus to focus on his physical needs. So the Bible says, "The devil said to him," to Jesus, "if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." What was the devil, first of all, trying to get Jesus to do? Basically the same thing he got Adam and Eve to do. He tried to get Adam and Eve to doubt. Remember when the devil said to Adam and Eve, "Did God actually say?" Or we could phrase it, "Did God really say?" Trying to put that doubt into the mind of Adam and Eve. And when he did that, he was successful. So here, the devil was saying, if you really are the Son of God, trying to get him to doubt whether or not he really is the Son of God. So the devil was saying, hey, if you really are, prove it to me. Turn this particular stone, turn it into bread. That's what he was saying to him. What did Jesus do, though? He showed his trust in his Father in heaven to provide what he needed rather than to take matters into his own hands and turn the stone into bread. Could he have done it? He could have. He is the Almighty God, but he did not do it. He did not fall into sin. Now, the Bible tells us that he did not eat anything for 40 days. Imagine that, quite a fast, 40 days. And the Bible also states it in this way, that during the 40 days, he did not become hungry. So there was a special blessing that God placed upon him in some way. Another factor can be that when we think about Adam and Eve, God made them perfect, and they did not have all the issues that all of us have going on with limitations and aches and pains and so on. So here we have now the perfect Son of God. So to be able to go 40 days without being hungry, well, part of him being the Son of God, part of him being also without sin. But the Bible does say at the end of the 40 days, that is when he did become hungry. So he could have taken the devil up on his challenge. He could have turned the stone into bread, proving himself to be the Son of God. But instead, though, he quoted from the Bible. He quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 8, and Jesus said to him, "Man shall not live on bread alone." As a way to draw a sharp contrast between the first Adam who fell into sin and then Jesus, the second Adam, who did not fall, Wenske put it this way. What succeeded in Eden in the land of plenty failed in the destitute desert. Think about that sharp contrast with Adam and Eve. They are in a perfect garden. They have many trees and many plants they could eat from. And yet what happens? They're tempted to eat from the one that God said no to, and yet they eat from it. And now we have Jesus. He's in the wilderness. There's basically no food there. The devil says, hey, take this stone, turn it into bread. He could have done it, and yet he does not. So you can see how the temptation that came to Jesus was so much greater than the temptation that came to Adam and Eve, and yet they did fall. But for Jesus, he remained our champion. He did not give in. He did not fall, and that is good news for us. Coming to the second temptation, Jesus was tempted to take a sinful shortcut. The Bible says, and the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And he said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So the devil said, I have authority over all the kingdoms. And if you worship me, I will give you those kingdoms. But what is the devil, though? The Bible says that the devil is the father of lies. So did he have authority over all the kingdoms? Some people debate this a little bit, but I don't see how he could have, because if you think about it, after Jesus completed his saving work, Jesus himself said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." That's an authority that was given to him by God the Father. So how could the devil have had this authority to give when later on it is God the Father who gives him that authority? So I think it was simply a lie there by the devil. When we think about what the temptation was, somehow, some way, by the power of the devil, now keep in mind the devil was an evil angel, but a very powerful evil angel, so somehow, some way, he was able to actually show Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in just a moment. And then he was simply saying, "Hey, do you want it all? Simply drop down, worship me, it will be so easy, and they'll all be yours." Quite a lot easier than being arrested, beaten, and crucified, wouldn't you say? So quite a strong temptation to take the easy way out. But yet again, though, Jesus quoted from the Bible. So quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6, regarding the Lord, Jesus said, "You shall worship only him." So only the true God, only the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are worthy of our worship. No person, no matter how great he might be, no angel, no matter how great he might be, are worthy of our worship. So the good news is, Jesus did not take a shortcut. Jesus did not fall into sin. So he remains our great champion, the one who ended up saving us from our sins. Let's go on to the final temptation here. So the temptation is to put God to the test. Now, in the Bible, it's going to be made clear here that we should not put God to the test. But in fact, there is one place in the Bible over in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, last book in the Old Testament, where God actually says, "Test me in this." So God himself challenges us to test him in one particular way, but not in the way, though, that the devil is going to test Jesus here. The Bible says, "And he," that is the devil, "took him," that is Jesus, "to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.' And Jesus answered him, 'It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Let's think about all three temptations. Jesus did not sin, but he did permit the devil to do certain things with him or to him. So for the first temptation, Jesus permitted the devil to speak to him. With the second temptation, Jesus permitted the devil to show him all the kingdoms of the world. And with the third temptation, Jesus permitted the devil to take him up to the highest part of the temple. With the first two temptations, Jesus expressed his confidence in the Bible being the Word of God, and he also demonstrated his trust in his Heavenly Father to provide what he needed. So did you see how clever the devil is then? The devil said, "Oh, okay, this guy believes the Bible is true. This guy believes that his Father in heaven will protect him and will do what the Bible says." So now the devil had it all figured out. So the devil quotes from the Bible. Right there from Psalm 91, the devil quotes the Word of God. And he's basically saying, "Okay, Jesus, if you believe the Bible is the Word of God, and if you believe that your Father will do what the Bible says, then simply throw yourself off the highest part of the temple. And right here it says in the Bible that God will send his angels, they will catch you, you won't suffer any harm at all." So all Jesus had to do was to throw himself off, and it would have all worked out wonderfully. So quite a strong temptation, but again, what did Jesus do? He quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 6. He said to the devil, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." So in other words, you shouldn't on purpose do something against what God promises, expecting God to step in and then to help you. Someone put it this way one time. They said that you should not place a chair in your kitchen, pour gasoline on yourself, and light a match, and then say, "Dear God, help me. You promised me that you would." That would be quite foolish, wouldn't it? Some people, though, test God in such ways. Thank God that Jesus did not fall, and let's pray that he will help us to not fall into such foolishness either. Coming to the final verse of our text then, in verse 13, it says, "And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time." When we think about each of us, we all have different weaknesses. And somehow, some way, between the devil himself, the sinful world in which we live, and our own sinful natures, they become aware of our weaknesses, and they're preying upon us in connection with our weaknesses. There might be one particular thing where this guy over here, he wouldn't even be tempted by that, but this guy over here, that is his greatest weakness. So that's where the devil is going to try to get after us. Also, too, he's not going to try to overcome us with a single temptation, but rather he's going to try to work upon us inch by inch, foot by foot, day by day, until finally we, under a cloud of great deception, end up in a place where we don't expect we would ever get in our lives. So it's always a very gradual process. That's why it's important to be in the Word, because going into the Word, that ends up being a spiritual checkup upon us. Oh, I should be here. And if we have drifted away, the Bible will show us that. And the Bible will call us back. So being in the Word is the answer in so many ways. Think what Jesus did now. So over and over again, when he was tempted, he quoted the Bible. That is called, in Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible is called the sword of the Spirit. Most of what we have as Christians is we have defensive weapons, but the Bible, that is our offensive weapon to do battle with the devil. What does the Bible say? The Bible says the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. If we know about the size and the strength and the eyesight and the speed and the eating ability of a lion, that should terrify us. And to know that the devil is that way, only in a spiritual sense, that should drive us into the Word of God to want to be fortified with God's holy Word. Now, the point of the sermon today is not to defend ourselves in order that we can save ourselves. That's not the idea. Rather, the idea is to see our divine champion, Jesus Christ, to know what he did, to know he did a finished work, that he did everything for us, and through him, we have the gift of salvation. But let us also know, though, that the devil is at work, along with the world and our flesh, in order to pull us away. So God is saying, be in my word, fortify yourself with my word, and I will help you in order to continue in the one true faith. So the challenge today then is to find a Bible verse and memorize it. Not quite sure which one to pick? Well, if you go by our main entrance, we have two brochures called Bible Topics, Part 1 and then Part 2. And those two brochures contain about 500 Bible verses, and they're divided up into about 30 different topics. So I encourage you to take a look there. Find a topic where you're kind of vulnerable in your life, and then look through those verses, pick one out, and memorize it. And it's simply going over and over and over it until finally you know it by heart, and God will use that to be a powerful blessing in your life. Let me close with one story. I go back probably about 30 years ago in my life, and I memorized a Bible verse back in James chapter 1. It says, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God." So I memorized the passage, not for any particular reason, kind of caught my attention, so I memorized it. Not too long after that, I got into a situation where I worked at the time, and I thought I was being very poorly treated by my boss. And I thought he was completely in the wrong, and I was completely in the right, and I was very angry about the whole situation. And my boss's office was like up in the front part of the facility. I was working in the back part of the facility. And over again, I'm thinking, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to tell him what I think about this whole situation. And at the same time, God kept bringing this verse to my mind over and over again. I'm physically doing the work I was supposed to be doing, but I could not get that verse out of my mind. And it might have come to my mind maybe 50 times. Over and over and over again until finally, well, I guess I'm kind of thick-headed, but finally, after about 50 times, God got through to me and he convinced me, don't express your anger to your boss. It's not going to be a good thing. It's not the way of a Christian. So I calmed down at that point. I let it go. And within just a day or two, my boss calls me in, apologizes to me for the situation, admitted that it was wrong, and then kind of gave me some special treatment going forward as a way to try to make up for it. So can you imagine, if I would have done it my way, probably wouldn't have worked out so well, but to have held back and let God handle it so much better. I don't think I could have ever held back without having memorized that verse. So it can be a really powerful thing when we have the Word of God written upon our hearts. So pick one out, and may it be a special blessing to you. Let us pray. Dear Holy Spirit, we pray that you would keep us in Jesus, always trusting in him, our divine champion. And then help us that we would write the Bible upon our hearts, and then help us to use it wisely in defending ourselves against the attacks of the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule. Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.